In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In our Gospel reading this morning from St. Luke, Jesus tells a remarkable parable about a man who decides to host a dinner party. He sends out a great number of invitations with the hope that those invited will come. And if that's not enough, he goes so far as to send out his servant to go to each of their homes, which is kind of remarkable, really. To say, "Come, for all things are now ready." Talk about wanting the invited guests to show up. But then, one by one, the invited guests start making up excuses as to why they cannot come. They all seem to be preoccupied with the demands of their lives. I think we all can identify with the demands of our lives. The first man has purchased a new piece of land, and he says he has to go see it. Well, I'm a little suspicious. I doubt if he bought it without seeing it. But that's what he says. "I pray thee, have me excused." Well, then the second man claims he's just purchased 5 yoke of oxen, which would be 10 oxen, because they're yoked side by side. "Well, I can't come, I'm sorry." The last one Jesus shares about just got married. Well, you know how that is. He decides he can't come as well because he's just been yoked with his wife. So the servant returns to his master and explains why each of them can't come. And then Luke tells us, Jesus tells us, the master is angry and tells the servant to go into the streets and invite those with greater need, the poor, the lame, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant does so. And interestingly, the needy come to the banquet. But the servant says to the master, "Lord, there's still room at the table." And then his Lord says, "Go back out into the streets and invite yet more." And then, with emphasis, I suspect, he says, "I want my house filled." As for those who did not come when invited, the Lord says, "None of them will partake of my supper." And this is where the story ends. This story has so much to teach us about the spiritual life and the relationship between God and man. First, about man. It's not a coincidence that the 3 men who reject the invitation to the banquet all did so because of their possessions. And sadly, a wife was even considered a possession of the man in those days. How often we all find ourselves so busy with our personal affairs that it becomes all too easy to shut out the feast that God invites us to share with Him. And I'm not talking about a one-time banquet and meal. I'm talking about sharing a rich, bountiful relationship with the only one who can satisfy our deepest needs and longings. The feast Jesus offers us is a spiritual connectedness that cannot be experienced with our focus on possessions or even on the best of our human relationships. The second thing that struck me about this, in terms of our own spirituality, is that it is always the needy who respond to God's invitation to enter into a living banquet, to feast on God's love. And while Jesus in our story lists those with physical neediness, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. And gives us a new way of understanding spiritual awareness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the list of the Beatitudes continues. But what Jesus is trying to say is, until we are somehow broken in spirit in our lives by all of life's ups and downs and challenges, it's unlikely that you will choose to experience the fullness of the life God wants to give you. Whenever I read the parable that we read this morning, I always ask the question, why? Why didn't they come to the feast? Other than sort of the petty little excuses they gave. What is it about we human beings, made in the very image of God, that rejects His gracious invitation to come to His feast? Why do we rather so often choose to go it alone? Is it our pride? Is it our desire to be in control of our lives, which comes at the cost of missing out on the abundance God would gladly give to us? Well, St. Paul seems to provide us with the best understanding of why we make up excuses for not going to the feast. Paul talked about the old Adam within us. that lurks there every day of our life, no matter how committed you are in your faith. There is this spiritual warfare that we all have to confront. And sometimes we give in to that side. Those who place Christ first on a regular basis, when they face pain and challenges, choose not to go it alone. But that rebellious side of who we are that seeks self-fulfillment and autonomy from God is always there. And that side of who we are does not like to accept the reality that along with the abundant life God has for us, the Christian life is also about cross-bearing. He who would be my disciple must pick up his cross and follow me. Yes, starting down the path of becoming the light of the world will also bring us into confrontation with the darkness of the world and its evil. In our epistle that we read this morning from 1 John, we heard these words: "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." Or John in John's Gospel said this: "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Bearing witness to Christ's love always comes with a price, because Christ asks us to change the way we live for something better. And changing our self-centered ways can only happen by God's grace at work within us. I can't change myself. God can change me. How great is the challenge to us to live as He would have us live? Listen to St. Paul's description of his struggle to change his ways from Romans chapter 7. "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. So then it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For we know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." That is one of the most remarkable expressions of humility that you will find anywhere, Bible or other. St. Paul is speaking out of his understanding of the spiritual warfare which is constantly raging within him and within us. The internal struggle to beat down Satan under our feet. So anyone who portrays the Christian life as an easy life is misleading you about the forces within us that would deny us the peace of God which passes all understanding. Let me close by saying just two more things. One about God in this story, and then a quick devotion. First, about God. His feast is intended for anyone and everyone. While he invites everyone, when the ones with excuses reject him, he then invites the broken, who gladly accept. But the story ends on a somber note. For those who reject his offer, Jesus says this: "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." What Jesus is saying is that our choices in life have eternal consequences. He offers the feast. He has invited you and me to his bountiful, loving supper. But the choice is ours. And now I'd like to read today's devotion, which Nancy and I read, and as Tom knows, from my favorite devotional writer, Max Lucado. Listen to what he says and how it relates to our lesson. It's entitled, "God Calls Your Name." This is what the Lord God says: "I myself will search for my sheep and take care of them." Ezekiel 34:11. And then Max writes this: "He's waiting for you. God is standing on the porch of heaven, expectantly hoping, searching the horizon for a glimpse of his child. You're the one God is seeking. God is the waiting father, the caring shepherd, in search of his lamb. His legs are scratched, his feet are sore, and his eyes are burning. He scales the cliffs and traverses the fields. He explores the caves. He cups his hands to his mouth and calls into the canyon. And the name he calls is yours." The message is simple. God gave up his son in order to rescue all his sons and daughters, to bring his children home. He's listening for your answer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.